Yes, welcome Tiger fans to Richmond's official weekly podcast, Talking Tigers. And today we are thrilled to have a legend of Australian journalism in the studio.
Thanks, Matthew.
No, not you, Tone. You're right on cue there, too. No, it's not Tone. It is the great Mike Sheehan, who's coming in today, Josh, to talk about his Tiger Top 50. We can't wait to crack into that with Mike. So we're going to give a few of our other segments a miss today.
Yep.
We want to make the most of his time, but it is great to have you back, Tony. You're live in the studio today.
Well, how barely. I'm barely live in the studio.
Are you okay, mate?
Well, it's a very gutsy effort, and I hope you can acknowledge that. The bravery. It's, you know, this is the epitome of strong and bold, me being able to get in here today with my plantar fasciitis or whatever it is.
You have been crook, mate. So we are thrilled that you're in here today.
It's lovely to be here.
Did you like that song?
I wasn't that familiar with it, to be honest.
Likewise.
Josh,
I don't think a lot of people will get this week's song, but it's a great artist in Joe Walsh from the Eagles.
Yeah.
And that song is called Funk 50. It is a funky tune.
Okay.
Right. And Funk 50 on the back of Mike Sheehan coming in to talk about his
50.
Top 50 times.
Yes. Very, very clever.
You do like your rock, Richo.
Yeah, I do.
We'll get to it a bit later.
Yeah, just before we get into everything, there I was on Saturday and I was having my cocoa bombs and my gluten-free cocoa bombs and it. Just reading the Herald Sun, you know, and just flicked through to the weekend supplement there, and I nearly choked on my cocoa bombs.
Why?
My Saturday, a full-page spread on you.
Yeah.
Matthew Richardson, My Saturday.
Well, Channel 7 made me do it.
Right.
I didn't want to do it.
Oh, okay.
The publicity department.
So then I started reading through, and I thought, okay, this might be all right, because he'll give you and I a mention. He'll mention the podcast. He'll say Talking Tigers, and he'll mention Greeners and Josh. Nah, he just got to do a bit of on presenting for Richmond's website and the podcast. That was it. And then goes on, the narcissist in him just couldn't, with just burgeoning out it was, when he said, I get recognised a bit on the street. Footy fans love to say good day. I'll give you a smile. Well, I get recognised on the street.
Okay, now
you pumpkin.
Well, my lawyers, who are your lawyers,
Martin Fargo.
They are currently speaking to the Herald Sun because I did not say that.
What did you say?
She asked me if people ever come up and want to talk footy. I said, yeah, occasionally they do, and she's turned that into I get recognised in the street.
Misquote.
That is not true. So
very
Martin,
amusing,
Martin and Fargo are currently looking into that.
Very amusing.
Anyway.
Hotel Brighton on Bay Street, spelled correctly.
Yep.
No issues there.
No. Talking Tigers. Exactly. Nothing.
Nothing.
No, you couldn't have said Talking Tigers.
No, I didn't.
It
was a Channel 7 Even publicity Pikelitz. Piece. That's why there was no mention of Richmond.
Is Pikelitz still here?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
No, he's gone. Pikelitz.
Okay. I got marched.
Hey, Josh, how do we get in touch today? The fans at home can get in touch.
Yes. You can get in touch on Twitter using hashtag Talking Tigers and also... now and during the week, send through an email, talkingtigers@richmondfc.com.au.
So we're going to jump in. Mike Sheehan's not far away. He's just parking his car now.
Yeah, we should get people to maybe send in with their thoughts on who they're maybe top 50.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tweet in hashtag Talking Tigers, your top five today.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I reckon we get straight into some emails and tweets.
Yeah, well, the email.
You got mail.
Sorry.
Nice.
Email's a bit light on this week. A couple sent through to see what Greeners and myself got up to on Saturday because they did read about yourself and wanted to know what we got up to. It wasn't much, to be honest. Went to the game and it was a bit flat. A couple have written in, Brian Carroll and Nathan Selwood more specifically, wanting to know where Richo's wheel is at.
The wheel.
Yes.
Well, we might bring the wheel back.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah, look, we'll bring it back. We'll bring it back.
I reckon
next
we will
week.
Bring it back.
So that wheel's got every player that played.
Every player that played with you throughout
Richmond.
Your illustrious career at Richmond.
That's I'd love it to land on Mark Coghlan again. I'd like to revisit.
Well, we'll just see if we have 158 Mark Coghlans on the wheel. Oh, chance. Yeah, next week.
Well, Nathan did follow on to just throw one at you off the spur of the moment. Who the best small forward you played with at Richmond was?
Good question.
It's a good question.
I reckon I can name the top three.
Yes,
Nick Daffy.
Yep.
Chris Naish.
Yeah.
And Andrew Cracker. But as far as the best front and square crummer, I'd have to say Andrew Cracker. Because quite often you'd go up for a mark and before the ball had hit the ground, or before you'd hit the ground, Andrew Cracker would be kicking a goal. That's so right. He had great hands, great front and square
play. Did he go with that question because of watching Daniel Rioli on Saturday?
Yeah, I think so. Square. And a bit of the talk about our small forward. So what would Nathan Brown classify himself as?
Brownie.
Just great.
Brownie, what he classifies himself as. Brownie thinks he's the Donald Trump, actually, of Australia. No, Brownie is a better player than all of those guys. But
he was more
he was a lead-up. He was a lead-up player.
More a medium-sized forward, probably.
Yeah, but Brownie, clearly a better player than those three, I would say. He was a very good player.
And for Tiger fans out there, Chris Nash's son. It's Patrick. Bottom age, under 18 level at the moment.
Yeah,
going pretty well. Yeah. So.
And Craig Lambert's eldest is eligible, I think, Billy, and then Bailey is eligible next
year.
About
time we got a few.
Yeah, a few. Hopefully. Yeah. You were our last good one.
Yeah.
couple of tweets coming in of hashtag... Talking Tigers.
He's on the ball.
Too quick for me. First one from Peter H. Listening to the media, we are no good. 2016 is a failure already and we need to rebuild. That was just round three gone. Right.
Yeah, good
question
point.
Mark.
Good point. Like that tweet.
And then another one come through from Kian McCallone. I hope I've got that correctly. Mm-hmm. Just after your thoughts on Ben Lennon's game on the weekend.
Oh, firstly, I thought it was great to see him playing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't quite work up forward early for him, but you know what? He's a great mark. He reads the play very well. You know, halfback might be the spot for him, taking some intercept marks.
And he kicks it well, doesn't
he? And he uses the ball well. I just think you've got to play him now for a couple of months.
Well, Dimmer said that, didn't he? Yeah. I think they're just going to invest in a few of those, you know, talented youngsters and we'll benefit because of that.
And I think that was on the back of Dimmer's point. He wasn't saying we're rebuilding.
No,
I think he was saying we're going to have to just play guys, even if, you know, they maybe deserve to miss a game. They're just going to play them and get game time in. I think it's a good move.
Well, I think the plan was to obviously introduce a few, but that's been fast-tracked because of the injuries that we've had as well. Yeah.
And then the final one that we'll get to at the moment from Xavier Wills. He's mentioned that get around the Tigers cheer squad in Perth this week. He'll be repping his TTT, which is great to hear.
Good on you, Willsie.
Very good.
He also asked whether we missed three hard-nosed players last week with Townsend and Grimes going out, and then also Morris, who's featured as well, whether we missed those guys around the ball last week, or do you think it was more?
I think Townsend's been good the first few rounds, but I'm with Tony. I think we've got to play guys like Short and Rioli now and Lennon, just keep playing them.
I don't think we had any problems getting the ball last week.
Yeah. No.
That's that day at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Just holding on to it.
Nice. Now we're getting into some club news before. I think Mike's about to join us very shortly.
Just walked in, Mike.
I'm looking forward to
under
this.
Under the pump here. So,
geez, his hair's grown, man.
He's looking pretty good, though.
He is. Well, he's retired, of course. He's got nothing to worry about.
This week we travel...
Except his pension. Sorry, Mike.
Trust me, Mike.
We'll top
Mike
it up.
Mike doesn't claim
does
the pension. No,
does he qualify? Not the means test?
Well, not when you've got a house in Sorrento.
Yeah,
I think a top 50 is a pension in itself. But the team travels to Perth this week on Thursday, so there'll be an open training session at Domain Stadium from 3:30 p.m. for all our Western Australian fans. Out there, entry will be via gate 8 at Subiaco Road from 3 p.m. and there's also a kids clinic to be held beforehand from 2 till 3. So if you register there, just visit the training times page on our website.
Beautiful.
And you'll get across there. And in Richmond injury list news this week, just a few guys with Yaron and Conker, and they're progressing. Dylan Grimes down 1 to 3 week. Brett Delidio, he's progressing a bit in that he's kicked the big ball this week.
The big ball.
So still not listed as an actual time, but I guess every week.
I think he's a chance for next week.
We get a look at him.
So what if I could make it in here today, I reckon he can
he could.
And then a new one to add to the list this week is Ben Griffiths, who did his ankle at Richmond VFL level.
That's no good.
No.
He'll be missing 2 to 4 weeks there.
Well, thanks for that update.
That's very
Josh.
Good. Very good.
I'll tell you what, let's get the great man in.
Pleasure, Matty.
Now, before we get into it, we do want to congratulate you on the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Quill Awards recently.
Thoroughly deserved.
You must have
Thank
been
you.
Thrilled, mate.
I was. It was, when they told me, but they told me a few months earlier, but when you sit back and sort of think, and you've almost finished your career and there's an acknowledgement, you've got to be proud of that. Because it's for a body of work rather than just one story. So I was suitably emotional and
did you have a big night?
Destroyed when I got up on the stage. Thanked everyone in the whole world.
Did you have a big night?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Well,
I have a big night 7 times a week, Matty.
That's retirement. You're allowed to.
Yeah, no, that's good. Now, look, obviously, your top 50 that you did for years in the Herald Sun, you're just renowned for it. What brought about the Richmond top 50? How did all that come about?
Actually, Simon Matthews came to me with a request to list Richmond's best players since the move to the MCG.
Yep.
And I said to Simon, I'm done with that, mate. I've had enough top 50. So it's Robbo's albatross around his neck now. And then we talked about it for a while, and I think the contrast, the thing that appealed to me most about Richmond was there's been that great period of the 60s and 70s and then the lean times afterwards and then sort of middle ground now. So I thought, well, there's some all-time greats of the game in that list, and there's some blokes who played in poor teams that should be acknowledged too. So I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'll take it on. I'll do another one.
So how tough an assignment was it? I would imagine it would have been even tougher than your normal top 50, given so many great Richmond players.
That's true. But I think my rationale for why lists work is because everyone has an opinion about their footy team, and there's always more players who should be in than you've got spots for. So therefore, and it's worked the same way here. I remember going through it, and I thought it was my first draw, and I thought, I'm going to struggle here from 40 to 50. And then when I finished, I thought, how can I leave A, B and C out? And they're still out.
So, so what was the criteria, Mike? Is with these things, you do need a criteria. What
you do. I think I decided there was a minimum of 5 years playing for the Tigers, and I think that's fair.
Fair enough.
And I mean, one of the casualties of that is Paul Sproul, who in my first take was in the teens. And I was a massive Sproul fan, like all the Richmond people were. And then I realised he only played four seasons, so so he had to go out. And I mean, people sort of say, how could Sproul not be there? But I think you do need a cut-off period. So Sproul missed out on that basis. I think 5 years of playing for the club was the only real consideration. And the other one was I place a huge emphasis on longevity. I think people who do things at a high level for a long period of time should always take precedence. So that's a weight that I tick myself.
Now, the Yellow and Black faithful are known for being very passionate. How do you expect them to take the list? And are you expecting any blowback from them?
Well, the Yellow and Black faithful have never liked M. Sheehan. I know that
much. Now, why is that?
Well, some. What are you laughing at?
No, I want to hear.
I don't know why.
What's that snook for?
No, I've wanted to ask you this question for many years. We worked on throughout our together.
Yeah,
right. And I've always wondered why they don't like
you. Did you have a run-in with GR?
I wasn't close to GR.
Okay.
No, and I wasn't close to Tommy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I admired how good Richmond was in the 60s and 70s. No question about that. I mean, I thought they were arrogant, but all great sides are. So I didn't hold that against them. I'm not quite sure where it comes from. I mean, I'm not owning up to it. I'm not saying that I have a prejudice, that I'm prejudiced against the Tigers. And I, you know, I've got some genuine friends who played with and worked with the Tigers. So I guess, I suppose it's born of me being critical of Richmond in the dark times, in the lean times, you know, when there was so much failure, for want of a better word, so many years down the bottom. And I guess I was mildly critical then, Matthew, in my columns in the Herald Sun.
Well, when you first started out, though, and as a journalist, Mike, the Tigers were, they were the team. And
yeah, they
you
were.
Said they were arrogant, they were powerful, but they did win all those premierships.
Well, they did. And in 1980, Matthew, I was actually sitting with the coach, Tony Jewell, and his wife, Marg, at the celebrations at the Southern Cross that night.
He's a good mate of yours, isn't he?
He is a good mate of mine, yeah. And I mean, that was just such a powerful performance that that year, which always and it reminds me of the moment that haunts me most in my journalistic career. I was working for the Herald, and the night before the 1980 Grand Final, the poster outside the front of the Herald and every milk bar and newsagent in Melbourne said, "It's pies," says Sheehan, and they got beaten by 83 points.
So what did you base that on?
Well, I'd ridden Collingwood all the way.
Yeah, okay.
And it was sort of, I thought, I can't get off them
get
in
off
Grand Final week.
Yeah.
And I remember playing tennis with Tony Jewell on the Tuesday of Grand Final week.
Yeah.
And I suppose in retrospect it's logical, but he was really toey. He certainly wasn't optimistic.
Yeah.
Collingwood had the steam up because they'd sort of played week after week and come through.
Yeah.
But I knew, I reckon, about 5 minutes into the granny that...
It was all over.
I was embarrassed. So I get home on the Saturday night, and your mate two phones, Matthew, Tony Sheehan, said to me, "Dad, will you lose your job now?"
So how come you didn't? Yeah.
Hey, so you mentioned TJ, you're great mates with him, and, and he would know that you're doing this list.
Yep.
Have you run it by him? Is he given it the tick of approval?
Well, I have actually sought his counsel on a few, and I don't apologise for that. I mean, I have my own views, but when people that I can trust, and I can trust their opinion, and they're prepared to talk about blokes they played with, I've got to give that some weight.
Yeah.
I guess 1980 was the last of the five in that era, and it was probably an era that before my time and many of our supporters. Can you take us back to that time, and what was the club like around that era, especially the us against them mentality?
Yeah, well, that was. I think they were. I don't. This is not a criticism to say that they were aloof, bordering on arrogant, but they were that good. And I mean, just this was the team that just had brilliant players all over the ground. They were well coached. I love the way they played their footy. It was just the no nonsense style. Get it, go forward, kick it to the best players, and the rest will take care of itself. And they were a great team to watch. Playing here at the MCG was perfectly suited for them. So, you know, there were so many players in that team and that era that obviously take prominent spots in the top 50.
So I might throw a few of those at you, because I grew up with those guys when I first started following football. And probably my three favourites were the Ghost, Jimmy Jess, the Flea, and Disco. That all feature pretty
They're all there, Matthew, and they're all in the top. So there was Jimmy,
the Dale, the Flea.
And Roachie.
They're all in the top 25.
Yeah.
You happy with that?
I think you're right there.
Look, the Flea, even though he's a weird bloke, and he's given me some shocking sprays over here and caused me angst when I worked at the AFL. A brilliant player. Watching him play. And the thing that I really admire about the Flea was, as good as he was in good teams, he was equally good in bad teams.
So he carried the team for a while, didn't he?
He did.
And his record at state level was unbelievable.
You should have been trying to wake him up the day after the state games, when we had to get back on a plane, come back to Melbourne. The drill was, I used to cop it because I was the last one on with the AFL. It's your turn, you've got to go and wake him up. So you had to do it from long distance, because if you were within punch distance, he would wake up and just, I don't know why, but his instinctive response was to punch whoever was telling him to wake up.
He's got small man syndrome, hasn't he?
That's true. What about some of the other greats of the club, like Kevin Bartlett, for example, Royce Hart, my favourite. I mean, I idolise Royce. I mean, they're all time greats of the game, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Francis Bird.
Yeah. What do you want me to tell me?
Well, just a little bit. Just maybe a little snap, a highlight that you might have of say KB, Royce, and Francis. Just something that springs to mind.
Look, it's a game that's increasingly based on stats, but I'm not doing my assessments hard based. But when you look at the Bartlett CV, it's unbelievably good. I mean, just in terms of games, goals, best and fairest, flags. Yep. I mean, he ticks every box. Yep. But I will say, your mate Royce, and like, I loved Royce. Every Richmond supporter did. And those of us who were neutral and watching Richmond play loved him. I think at the height of his powers, I thought Royce was the best player that I'd seen.
Yeah.
I mean, toughest position on the ground, brilliant mark, great kick for goal under pressure.
Yeah.
Great kick for goal under pressure. That was me, Matthew.
I love those guys. I'd love to know what they did.
I've always thought, how good would it be just to have a highlights package, like a half-hour highlights package of all those players?
Yep.
That, you know, you could give to your members or something to watch, you know?
Yeah, well,
just be awesome.
Well, why don't you?
Well, yeah, it's getting hold of the footage, I guess. A lot of that footage, you know?
Mightn't be out there.
No.
What about the current day crop, Mike? There's probably, I reckon, there's three or four of the current team that would have to be in contention. Jack, Cochin, Martin, Deledio. Was it tough putting in the guys that are still playing now?
It is difficult. And even in recent times, as odd as it sounds, and it shouldn't happen, but sometimes I almost revisit that list based on what they did the previous day.
You know,
which you can't do because this is a body of work.
Sure.
So I haven't fallen for that trap of changing that.
Yeah.
They're not. None of them is high, Matthew.
Right. Well, I think you're probably going to have a full career, don't you?
Yeah. Do you think if you were doing this in 10 years' time, that they one or two of those might be a fair bit higher?
Well, this is opening up an old sore, isn't it, with Lids. I'm seen to be a critic of his.
You've got him in the top 50, though.
Yeah, he's in there. He thinks I'm a critic of his. If I have a fault in the way I assess players, it may be I mark them hard if I believe that they haven't fulfilled their potential. Right?
What about the fact Richmond can't win without him?
It does make
him appear a better player.
No, that's a good. And you and I had a very
animated
discussion on radio one day about. I think it was you who said, how good would he be playing for Geelong?
Well, if he'd been at Geelong over that period, he would be regarded as a Corey Enright type player.
So how?
And that's a concession, but he wasn't at Geelong.
Good point.
So how difficult did that make the final list in comparing players across generations, where I assume a lot of the guys at the top end of the list will have fantastic CVs with premierships next to their name compared to the guys in the era from probably mid-80s onwards?
That's true. There's a weight. I attach a weight to premierships. And Matty, you're one of those. Yeah. You and another guy who suffers from that is Gerard Healy. And Gerard Healy, he still gets really angry that people sort of say, And the implication is that Gerrard isn't as good a player as, say, Diesel. Michael Tuck, for argument's sake.
Because, he won a Brownlow, though.
Yeah. Mm. What's the relevance of that?
No, well, he's been recognised, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah. But we do attach a weight, or a lot of us do, to the flags. And,
sure.
And I think, in a way, it's a double-edged sword, this. I mean, you can sort of say he's a great player because he played in one, two, or three flags. Mm. And clearly you've got to be good to play in the best team. But then if you're playing in the best team of the day, it's easy to play in that team.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you'd played full forward in those great teams of the 70s and 1980. You would have kicked about 801 goals.
Well, it would have been nice.
Some very ordinary players have played in premiership sides.
Correct. Oh, of course. Mm. Yeah.
Mike, how do you see football now? Because we're talking about 50 years of watching this great game.
Yep.
Are you a fan of how it's played at the moment? Are you seeing that we're starting to see more scores this year? Is it coming back a little bit?
No, I agree with that. I was despairing a little bit about the state of the game, but I've loved last weekend watching Melbourne and North.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice as a Melbourne sympathiser, which I am, to see them be competitive against a good team and do
20 goals and a loss.
Everything but win it. And, and you know, you and I, Matty, have done one thing. We've both played football in Tasmania on windy days, and it's not easy. Yeah,
it's not.
And yet they kicked 40-odd goals between them. The skills were great.
Yeah.
And then I watch Hawthorn and the Bulldogs play.
Yeah.
And after quarter time, that was just a brilliant game. Yeah. So, but I actually take some credit for this.
Mm. Current game?
I started the campaign about implementing the deliberate out of bounds rule 15 years ago.
Is that right?
Well, it's a good rule.
And said the rule
so you're to blame for us losing to Collingwood in round two. Thanks, Mike.
No, but in the broader sense, I mean, we go to the football to watch blokes, footballers compete. Yeah. We don't go to watch boundary umpires throw the ball in and have those big logs wrestle and try to knock it to someone.
So, what about last? You're not a fan of the last touch rule, then, are you?
No, I'm not.
No,
and even me, with my background, I still think it's probably too tough. I thought the Floston one was pretty tough.
Mm.
But it's effectively, I think they're implementing it on the basis you touch it last.
Yeah.
Unless you clearly are trying to keep it in play, I'm going to ping you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I've always said the best of the modern game, whatever the era is, I would have said in the 70s, 80s, 90s and now, the best of the modern game is better than anything we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, and you mentioned him before, and you said you didn't get on really well with him, but just for Richmond fans that didn't know about it, what was Graham Richmond like?
He was like, he was a Machiavellian figure. I mean, there's no question that he pulled the strings, and Ian Wilson was party to that, and Ian Wilson was happy to fire the bullets once GR made him.
Yeah.
GR, but look, it's funny saying this at Punt Road, and I think the roof will fall on me if I say this.
Be careful.
He made a few blues, GR.
Hmm. He did later on.
He led the obsession with John Pachura. There's no question about that. And this was the best team in the competition, 73-74, and he was mad. He just had to get Pachura, and it was a mistake.
Was it a power thing? Was it?
I think it was. I think
Pachura
just thought,
had always played well against.
You know what? This is how simple it was.
We can do it. We can get him.
This is how simple it was. Who's that left footer, number 21 for the Swans, playing on Francis? That's John Pachura. Got to get him, mate. No one gets kicks on Francis.
Yeah,
and he kicked 3-7 one day on Francis at the MCG. And GR said, I have to have this bloke.
Yeah.
Gary Davison was another one.
Yeah.
And I think he fell in love with the skills of certain players at other clubs and said, we just have to get them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can rightly say that's being negative about a huge figure in Richmond.
Well, he did. I mean, he built it up from nothing.
True.
So he built it up unbelievably.
Yeah, and he got the right coach. I mean, when you got Tommy in the 60s, Tommy was the right bloke with these good players.
Mm-hmm. I've got one here I want to ask this.
Right. Your view of the current crop of journalists, and you're not going to bag your own, but I reckon you had to do a bit more work, didn't you, back in your heyday to get a story? You actually had to get on the phones and ring around. Do you reckon it's a bit different now, this age of social media?
Yeah, I think the footy clubs and the AFL have created this, because when I was working, say, at the Age and the Herald in the older days,
no websites.
No one put stories out.
Yeah.
You know, we found them. Journos found them in those days. Yeah, and you got them. These days, I think the strategy is, if we've got an issue coming up here, let's get it out there on our terms rather than someone else breaking it. So it is difficult, and there's so many people doing it, so many outlets, and such, you know, social media, which I'm not familiar with, but I know that a lot of things are said on there. So it's more immediate than it ever was. But it's a bit like comparing journos is a bit like comparing footballers.
Yeah.
I mean, we see their faults now, but let me see, I'm a Robbo fan, even though a lot of people aren't. I like Robbo's passion and animation.
I was going to ask you, do you think that there's too many football reporters out there that don't have passion for the game? that it's just a job for them. It's, you know, that it's a, it's an industry. It's a, you know, but they actually don't understand the history, not interested in the history of the game, and not that passionate about it.
No, I don't.
No? Okay.
Short answer. No, mm-hmm. I think that they all love footy.
Okay.
And as many of the percentages, say if there's 95%, if I'm saying 95% of footy love now and have passion for it, would have been the same in the old days. A lot of us used to be happily go home after the footy in the old days and not give another thought about it.
What about the relationships between the journos and the players? I get a feeling back in, you know, the 80s and 70s, used to have pretty good relationships with players
similar,
and coaches.
Similar. I mean, it was okay when you're having beers with them and stuff like that, and if you're on state trips.
Yeah.
But when the crunch came, I used to say to every young journo that came into the, wherever I was working, I said, we're not their buddies. We bury for the story, they play the game. So it's nice to get on with it. And there's a lot of people who played footy during my time that I would regard as friends. But when the crunch comes, and Caroline Wilson's a perfect example of this, she's a passionate Richmond supporter, but the story always wins.
Exactly.
So where do you see the state of the game going over the next few years with in terms of the broadcast deals and, I guess, the commercialisation of the game? Do we have fans focus at the number one priority at the moment, do you think?
No, never have been.
Mm. Mm.
We as supporters are committed. We love this game. I mean, in a way,
Some of us should be committed.
For loving certain teams, don't they? Look, the supporters, I don't think they get a great deal. But I don't think they ever have. But we keep turning up. We keep buying membership tickets and going to the big games, and the crowds this year are up again. So while that happens, they don't have to actually look cultivators, do they?
No, true. Now, tell us about your award-winning program, Open Mic. I've loved it this year. The first one that you did with Hutto, Bones and...
Sam Newman.
And Sam Newman was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for your note on that.
Yeah. So you'll be doing a few more different ones like that?
We're toying with... at the moment, we're thinking about doing a concussion one with some players like Matty Maguire and a few people like
what
that.
About, like Johnny Platton or Diesel?
Yeah, someone like that.
You should be on that too, Matty. You've had a few issues in that
regard. No. Don't start
talking. My own view about that show is that its strength is taking... big names, let's have a look at what
they're
like.
They do
now.
Open up though, don't
they?
They
do, yeah.
They all open up.
Caroline Wilson was on 2 weeks ago, which was a bit of a change of tempo.
Yep.
And last year we had the three Cornses, Graham with the two boys, which was one of my favourites. I really enjoyed that. But I mean, I just like we all do, like we're doing now, I love sitting around like we're in a pub just talking about the footy. And and you know the good thing about it, we haven't talked about Essendon or drugs or hair tests or any of that.
Thank you.
And look, I've gone out on a limb in the top 50, Matthew.
What's that?
You're in it.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Shake my hand. I did get filthy with you 1 year when you didn't have me in it, but that's all forgiven.
You won't know this. I dodged you for about 4 months after that. I used to find out where you were.
I was flat. Josh, Mike, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it. But before we let you know, Josh, we've got a bit of info on Mike's top 50.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming in, Mike. And Mike's top 50 unveiled yesterday. The first three players were unveiled. So you can get involved at richmondfc.com.au/Mike. And also you can predict Mike's top five of the last 50 years for your chance to win, thanks to our joint major partner, Jeep. And the prize up for grabs there is to have dinner with Mike.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah, that is.
I'm surprised.
Well, might be news to you.
There'll be a few bottles of Shiraz drunk.
That's right.
There'll be a few bottles cracked over my head, I reckon.
And not just any old dinner. That is at the Richmond's President's Function pre-game for our Round 7 clash against Hawthorn.
Okay, and is that the night we're announcing the top...
Yes, we will announce it that day.
Beautiful.
The top two.
We look forward to it.
No, look, it is a good exercise, and it has renewed my love for the Richmond football club.
Great to hear.
Let's leave it at that. Thanks, Mike.
Good on you,
Mike. Pleasure, boys.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, there's a very familiar sting from last year. And as Mike Sheehan exits the building, it was great to have him in here today.
It was terrific. Yeah.
It was absolutely great. We've got our new VFL correspondent, Tone, who's popped into the studio for the very first time after the first VFL game of the year over at Williamstown. And it is Brenton Mann. Brenton, great to have you on board this year. And the first thing we always say when we have a new guest who's a permanent, you need your own sting. That's Dirks' sting from last year. I'm a Tiger.
Yeah, you'll have to come up with something.
I'll delve through the archives during the week and I'll bring something in for next Tuesday.
Make sure it's an older song though, please, if you can.
How old?
Back in the 60s or 70s. 80s, I might let you go through.
I'm an 86 child, so...
Oh, that's okay. All right.
Is that all right? Yeah, no, that's something okay. From the 80s
yeah.
Would be
yeah, I can do all that. Right. I can do okay. That. Maybe a power ballad of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. Something maybe from Manfred Mann.
Manfred Mann, yeah, maybe.
Not familiar right. With their work.
Nah, well, you need to spend the rest of the week going through their work. It's very, very impressive.
But it's great to have you on board, Brenton. A 22-year member, so you're a true Tiger, and we look forward to your reports during the year. But what did you make of the game on the weekend?
Can I ask first of all right, because it's down, what was the weather like? Because it's the windiest ground of all down there at Willy.
It was actually quite placid for a Williamstown. It was a moderate southwester blowing towards the Fort Gellibrand end.
Oh, just a zephyr.
There was a zephyr. I do enjoy the word zephyr, but it was actually beautiful weather and a great day for football. And I tell you what, we put up a spirited showing, much improved from our pre-season games. 4-point lead at half time, but unfortunately ran out of legs. No rotations, probably halfway through the third, into the fourth quarter off the bench. So
who was injured then?
Well, we had Marriage come off the ground. And,
oh, of course.
In the last, Griffiths did an ankle.
Yep.
Tom Langford, a hammy, and also a corky to Jake Arts, I think.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, we were down. We had no rotations in the last, and Willie, they're a premiership side, reigning premiers, and they just ran over the top of us.
Yep. You mentioned Ivan. How did he go?
It was good. It was good. 75% game time, 16 hit-outs, I think 4 or 5 clearances. Just gave us real presence around the ball.
Yeah.
Able us to win clearances 50-39.
Okay.
And also did his own Alan Jakovic impersonation.
Is that
gave
right?
One of the Willy defenders a nice kiss, a nice ooh. Peck on the cheek. So it was a spiteful game.
Yeah,
but
No,
he was good. He was really good. And I'm not sure if he'll get back in the AFL side this week. It's going to be tough to break in.
5-day turnaround too, isn't it?
It is tough. Yeah. And got to get the plane to Perth. And I think Hampson's really travelling well at AFL level. Yeah. So. Also, Adam Markham was good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him because obviously he played in Williamstown's premiership side, so and he went all right against his old side.
He did. He did. He had 24 disposals, over half of them contested, 7 or 8 clearances, and just really industrious and busy around the stoppages.
The other guy I want to know about, Jason Castagna, he's been upgraded to the senior list, Tone, and you know he mightn't be too far away from a debut. How did he go?
Georgie was put through the forward rotations in the first quarter and couldn't get near it, unfortunately, but then he... Yeah. Was thrust into the midfield and gave us real drive and a lot of speed and surge from stoppages. Finished with 2 goals. So, 9 tackles, 9 contested possessions, 17 disposals and 2 goals.
It's good to know that he can do that, go through the midfield and give something. Yeah,
Craig McRae did mention that at AFL level we're looking for someone to put a lot of pressure around the ball and George might be able to take that spot.
Yep. So who else sort of stood out?
I think Jake Batchelor was really strong down back in a return to form for him. Just really solid, intercept marking, had a team-high 8 marks on the day. Set up a lot of our attacking chains.
Yeah.
Also, Nathan Broad in the first half went quiet in the second, but there's little bits and pieces for him to work on, but he's showing glimpses of what he can do.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to see him get into the team at some stage. We had some other senior heads back there, Taylor Hunt, Stephen Morris. How did they go?
Morrie just gave his all, as per usual, and was defensively really strong, hard at the contest, showed great leadership. Also offered a bit of drive off half back and Taylor Hunt as well. He had 11 handball receives, 23 disposals.
Yep.
Off a wing / half back. So he was good again.
Yeah. Andrew Moore
was great. He was that inside bull.
Yeah.
15 tackles, 24 disposals, 16 contested possessions, 7 clearances. Right. So that's what you want.
He'd be pressing hard. I reckon he'd be pressing hard for senior selection.
Well, that's his best game for the club. But yeah, pressing hard for senior selection for sure.
What about Marby Orchol? Obviously, you showed a bit through the NAB challenge. How did he look?
He spits and spurts.
Yeah.
Do you see the athletic traits that he possesses? And it's just for him building that consistency through games. I think that's what the coach is looking from him. Unfortunately, was bounding away from half back and the ball didn't come back to him. Down the other, remind me of the great man one time at Telstra Dome.
Well, yeah.
Bounding down the wing, the ball bounced up over your head.
I'll tell you what, Brenton, you mightn't last very long if you keep bringing up those things.
Love it.
No, you know what? I always have said, Tony, when you're 6'5" and above, or ruckman size,
you're awkward.
You shouldn't bounce the ball.
No.
But the modern day, mate, these guys can bounce it beautifully. And Marby, he can keep doing it because it's not too bad.
It's a very good point.
What about this week? Who do we move on to this week in round 2?
We've got Footscray, fresh off a 49-point win over Northern Blues here on Saturday at Punt Road Oval. So
that'll attract a fair few, obviously.
12 p.m. start, so... Yeah. Hopefully we get a decent crowd here. Yep. It's going to be tough. I think, Footscray, 2014 VFL Premiers, so they're a decent side.
Yep.
And obviously they're travelling well at AFL level, but they've got great depth.
How did the new skipper go?
Sam Daly was probably our best for the day, I think. Was 24 disposals, 11 handball received, 17 uncontested possessions. Just used the ball so well. Yeah. Used his running power off halfback.
Yep, yep.
And showed great leadership as well.
Was good. And Fly in his debut as coach?
Fly was good. Fly was good. Fly enjoyed this week more than other weeks.
Yeah,
so still looking for that first win. But the improvement's there and... We're definitely building and have some good signs, yes.
Excellent.
Now, Brett, you're going to be live tweeting all of the VFL games this year, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'll be trying to keep up with the play. And
excellent.
Yeah, so everyone just tune in via Twitter to get the constant updates.
Yep.
I'll try and fill you in as best I can.
Well, fantastic.
Really it was a good debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not pretty solid,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, no, solid debut.
You're almost into votes on the debut, I reckon.
Rising star of an ocean.
Yes, I would say so. Well, thanks for coming
good
in today.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Richo. Thanks, Greeners.
Just work on that sting, all right?
I'll get the sting. Okay. Manfred Mann.
Yep.
Now, Tone, if you're still living at home where Mum barracks for Carlton and Dad thinks you're born to mow the lawn...
She wouldn't be my mum if she barracked for Carlton.
I think it's time you found your own place. In fact, you should move out on your own.
It's not a bad idea.
You don't like human beings.
It's not a bad idea at all.
Save $27 a day and you can do it. Our valued sponsor, Caden, can kickstart you into your new apartment with $15,000 towards your deposit.
$15,000?
15 large, Tone.
Wow.
This is all up front. They don't load the money into the price and there are terms and conditions, but no catches or hitches. Caden.com.au/kickstart will give you all the ins and outs, Tone.
Oh, I need a good kickstart.
Bit of Graham Kennedy and Bert Newton about us there,
Tone. We could win an award for that, I reckon.
Oh, I don't know about that. What did you make of the game, Tone? You were sitting at home with your foot up on the couch?
Yeah, look, it was very frustrating, it's fair to say, and I think every Richmond supporter would concur with that. We had numerous opportunities, and unfortunately we shot ourselves in the foot with just the turnovers. It wasn't it, Josh? I mean, it was just, and Adelaide just pounced and capitalised fully.
Yeah, I think you're right. 100% there, Greeners, and Richard, I'll just get your thoughts. The marks inside 50, Richmond were fine, no problems at all. Maybe the overuse of the handball, something to work on there, but the goals from Adelaide, five from outside 50, that
12,
hurt.
12 from turnovers directly from us, just with basic stuff. So I know it's all doom and gloom out there, but I can tell you now, if you don't have okay ball movement, you don't take 16 marks inside 50. Mm-hmm. So our ball movement was okay to be able to do that. What killed the Tigers on the weekend was just costly turnovers, and Adelaide only had four marks inside 50. For a forward line that's got Walker, Jenkins, Betts, and Tommy Lynch didn't play, but they've got a very, very powerful forward line. That just shows you that all of their goals were running back off turnovers, kicking them running through 50, or actually just kicking them from the goal square. So these are things you can fix up.
Yeah.
Some of it's got to do with Adelaide pressure, obviously, but 16 marks inside 50 was a positive, and we're looking for positives out of it.
So they got five goals from within 15 metres of the goal square, and then another five from 50-plus. So, I mean,
Brody Smith and
Smith
Douglas.
And Douglas just walking up and launching them long, and Sloan got a couple as well,
things to work on.
Look, there's no doubt there's a lot to work on, but you're right, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not like we were completely obliterating all the key areas or anything, because we actually won a lot of those key areas, but the turnovers.
And one thing out of the game I know you liked, and it was one thing was enough for me to have some positivity. It was Rioli's crumb.
That was quality. Yeah, that was. You can't teach that sort of thing, I reckon. It's almost instinct, isn't it? Yeah. The way he just pounced on it like that.
And, a bit more of that would be fantastic. His second game as well.
He shows some very, very encouraging signs there. There's no doubt. And a few of those other kids do too.
And Cochin led from the front. Yeah, so maybe the knockers have backed off for a week.
Yeah, it's been a bit quiet this week.
Yeah, no, he's very, very
Speaking
good.
Of which, should we get to the votes?
Yeah,
we'll,
good idea.
We've got a grab from Dimmer first, I think.
Damien, I reckon Richmond fans are waking up this morning sort of asking or wondering where their club is at the moment. And interestingly, in your press conference yesterday, and it was very honest, you said, well, as a footy club, we might have to go one step back to go two steps forwards. Now, what do you mean by that? Do you mean in the next couple of weeks or over the next 1 to 2 years? Well, can you just explain by what you meant by that?
Yeah, no, I think it's more like a half step back. I think what we've seen at the start of this year, we've introduced some new talent, some new players into our squad, and this isn't the same side that represented Richmond last year. We've been found wanting in the three finals campaigns we competed in, so we don't merely want to make up the numbers, we actually want to challenge, and to challenge, we've got to make some changes within our playing personnel and with the positional aspects that apply to that. So you know, we're going to be a little bit brave with our decision making with regard to that selection in match committee. And whilst we may have to take a little bit of heartburn, we certainly think in, you know, weeks to come you'll see us move forward, because we are doing a lot of things right. We're just probably hurting ourselves a little bit along the way, but we're really excited by some of the talent we've brought into the side, and they're going to be very good players for us.
So there you go. Didn't explain it. Josh, just one thing. Yes. I spent Matthew. An hour on this rundown this morning.
Sorry. It's the second week in a row. Yeah. I'm a little rundown myself.
Yeah, it's hot. It is hot in here, too, by the way.
Covering for Greeners over a couple of weeks.
All right.
Sorry to let you down, boys. Have you back. No, sorry to let you down. But he was right what he said, Nimmo, about that half step back. Yeah. And we said that's been born out of necessity, some of it, because of the injuries to some key players. But we will benefit from this in the long run.
We will. So what have we got now?
The votes.
Yeah. Yes. Got it going well, the rundown sheet.
Yeah. Beautiful. It starts with Matthew at the top.
Oh, everything starts and finishes with Matthew, to be honest, in this organisation.
Well, boys, do we need to go into this again? What? There would be TT if I pull the plug. Three to Koch.
You narcissist.
I do get recognised sometimes.
Yeah.
Two to Hawley.
Yes.
And I gave one to Brandon Ellis. I thought 39 touches shows that he was running from one end of the ground to the other again. So I think Brandon started to get into some better form on the weekend with his game.
I go on three for Cochin. No arguments there. Clear best for Richmond. Two for Lloyd. Thought the touches he did get were very important and made the most of it. Three goals, that big grab, and one to Hawley as well.
Yeah, so I just got him in a slightly different order. Three to Cochin, two to Hawley, and one to Lloyd.
You like Lloyd?
I like Lloyd because there is a real X factor about him.
Yeah.
He can play tall, he can play small, he's really good overhead.
How many bags of three now? In
seven.
Out of how many games?
Seven in about 19 games. Yeah. Might be 25 games. So
pretty
around
good
there.
Ratio,
it's
though.
A very good ratio.
So quick look at the leaderboard. Koch, as he should be, his last 2 weeks, he's been great. 12 votes, 11 to Martin, 9 to Lambert, 9 to Hawley, and 6 to Rance.
Racing. Right, well, we should
this
look back.
This is your segment.
Oh, I love this segment. It's a great segment.
Is that why you come back for this segment?
Only for this segment, really. Yeah, that's it. We just should have a look how we went last week with our... how did you go, Matthew?
No,
how did you
have your yellow? I didn't go well with my yellow and black last week.
Who was it?
I made a point of something a little bit different. I thought outside the box, unlike you guys.
Trying to be too clever.
I said that Dustin Martin would kick 3+ goals.
How many did he kick?
He didn't.
Right.
He didn't kick.
But I'm backing him in to do that this week.
Really?
I'm sticking with the same yellow and black that I had last week.
Okay. Notwithstanding the fact he's going to be playing in defence.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, even if he does, he will run the length of the ground and kick 3+ goals.
All right, Josh, how did you go last week?
Not so good, let's be honest.
Who did you have?
I think I went for Jake Batchelor or whoever replaced Dylan Grimes.
I thought it said Bash, but it's Batch.
No, it's still three.
Because you might have got away with Bash.
But that's the whole thing about this segment. Is you did. You went out on a limb. It didn't work, but at least you had a crack.
The thing is to get it to work.
Yes.
That's
so this
really
week,
what it's about.
This week, it's going to work.
Is it?
Shane Edwards, I think.
Yeah.
Second week back from his hand operation.
Second up from a spell.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a good one.
Last four games at Subiaco's averaged 20 touches.
So you do more homework than me and Greeners.
I got less to do. Less to do on Saturday, clearly. He's played the third, aside from the MCG and Docklands, Subiaco's where he's played the third most of his games. So I think familiarity will get us home with Shane.
Yeah, well done. I must apologise before you do your yellow and black. The rundown hasn't been great today.
No.
I had that we were reviewing the Pies game. That was 2 weeks ago.
Not again.
I don't want to go over that again.
I wrote down Brandon Ellis for you when
clearly
I looked at your email and it said Shane Edwards. So I do apologise for the confusion.
We all make mistakes.
Well, I'm not sure. Can I go off the rundown sheet then?
Is that
all right for me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're right.
Well, last week got Alex Rance. He did went on to Betts. He did a pretty reasonable job. Eddie still got away off the chain.
Yep.
Kicked a few, but... Yeah, Rancey's pretty good.
Yeah.
This week I'm going for Jack. He was probably a bit quiet. Missed a shot that he would normally absolutely, kick any sleep. I think he'll have a really big game. I think he'll lift and he'll know the importance of it, and he will lift. He'll have a really big game on Friday night.
Couldn't be a better ground for a forward that wants to work
absolutely
hard.
Absolutely, and he does work hard.
That's why Darling and Kennedy play well over there, because they work hard and it's a long ground.
Mm.
didn't go to the doctor this week.
Sorry.
I should have.
Did you check these off with Josh?
No.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Scones.
Scones gets you got nervous.
Oh, dear.
The posters
are back.
Hey, what do sea monsters eat for dinner?
Oh, what?
Fish and chips. Oh. You know, I asked...
Look at poor old Matt over there, trying to work.
I asked my wife the other day if she ever fantasises about me.
Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah, she said yes, about me mowing the lawn, doing the dishes and taking out the rubbish.
That's true, isn't it?
Same with it you.
It's absolutely 100% correct.
That's fantasy stuff, that. I married Miss Wright.
Did you?
Yeah. I just didn't know her first name was Always. That's all.
See, this is, you've been spending too much time at home. Your wife's getting to you.
It is getting to me. I'm actually having an introvert party on the weekend. Yeah, yep. And you're all not invited. You know what the definition of hospitality is?
No.
It's making your guests feel like they're at home, even if you wish they were. And I'll leave you this one. A hungry traveller, right, stops at a monastery and is taken to the kitchen where a brother is frying chips. Are you the fryer, he asks. No, I'm the chipmunk, he replied.
Not bad today.
Not bad.
I'm glad you're back, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be back.
I've enjoyed your company.
Oh, good. You going to give me a lift, though?
I will give you a lift, home.
Tremendous.
Hey, we've got to thank Mike Sheehan for coming
in.
Tremendous. What a great chat that was. Mm. So we did miss a few segments today, but we had to accommodate Mike. But next week, Chief Watch will be back. We're going to spin the wheel.
The quiz.
Ooh, we will.
The quiz will be back.
Kev's Capers, maybe?
Kev, he's been playing up a bit, so you never know. Thanks for listening again to all our TT fans.
Go Tigers.
And we'll see you in Perth.